Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Let's not think about unhappy Monday.
Yeah, it's been a really, really busy weekend. Went out with friends on Friday, had friends over yesterday. It's been a really, really crazy weekend for me. Normally, I don't have a lot of, like, social friend-type plans. So, but the next few weeks, I'm pretty busy.
Good. Well, that's good. You know, it's the dead of winter. You do not want to be outside, but it's always nice being with other people. I was outside today. Can you tell? I'm just, like, just exhausted.
Stupid outside.
Winter needs to go away.
So, what has been keeping you inside?
Well, I just completed Life is Strange, episode 1.
So, I'm really interested to see what you think, because I only made it to the decision where she talked to, like, the head of the school, the principal. I think it's pretty much, like, the first big decision that you make. Yeah. And I then put it down and never went back to it. Not because it's bad. I thought it was good. It was interesting. It just, with the push to Legend this month, I haven't had a whole lot of gaming time outside of Hearthstone. So it's just one of those things that kind of got shoved to the side for the month of February. So what did you think of episode 1?
It was really good. I was really excited to play something that was completely different from anything I've ever played before. Not in the sense that it's an adventure game. It's a choose your adventure, like make decisions type scenario, like Telltale, but it's a different setting. Like we had described, I think like 3 or 4 episodes ago, like I'm not going to go into detail, but like set it like some sort of college or like specialty school.
It's like a private school, yeah.
Yeah, private school. There's dorms. You play as a teenage girl who's back from a trip, being away for 5 years. That I think that comes into play a little later. And you get the sense that like they really established that this is a teenage girl having teenage problems. Everything's just out of hand. And I was really interested to play in this world because like it actually brought, I couldn't like turn back time, and I also wasn't a teenage girl in high school, but it just brought back memories of like those days, like of high school, like just the type of people you run into. Like there's the preppy bullies, there's the football players, there's the jocks, there's the weird people that bring guns to school. Actually, that was never an issue when I went to high school. I always thought it was funny, like watching TV shows where there was like 30-year-olds playing high school kids, and they did drugs and they brought guns, and it's like, man, either I didn't get out much when I was in high school, but like that never happened.
Oh man, yeah, that happened to us all the time. I think it was probably a locational thing. So my school versus your school.
Probably. I went to a small school, not Toronto. I really dug it, and you kind of progress a little farther from the point where you're at. I can kind of see where that's a good point to put it down. And I actually played that bit and put it down right after we recorded that episode. I bought the season, and I checked it out, and it's like, oh, this is cool. And then I put it down and then hadn't played it for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So you should definitely pick it back up again, like when after Jost a Legend is complete.
Yeah. It's been sucking up all of my game time. Like, and I do really want to play this and Game of Thrones and The Order came out this weekend and Evolve. Not to mention poor Smite. I've been absolutely just neglecting my Smite life right now.
Yeah. Hi-Rez is going to have to stop canceling the checks.
I know.
I'm just kidding. Like if they gave us gems, we would talk about probably Smite much more.
It's been an interesting month. I'm kind of stuck right now. I'm at rank 5. I got up as high as 4 and I've dropped back down again, and I've just kind of been, I seem to be able to get all of my stars to level 5, but just that last win to get me into the next bracket has been elusive. I did it once and then I got up to I think 3 stars at rank 4 and then and I fell back down again. So I don't want to say frustrating, but I thought I would be further than I was. I thought that by the end of this weekend, and to be fair, I have not played much this weekend. I got a little bit discouraged last week, so I gave it up a little bit. But I don't know. Maybe March is the month. I'm so frustrated and upset with myself for not hitting Legend this month, and I know that there's still 6 days left, and but I just man, I'm so disappointed.
Are you having fun? It does not sound like you're having fun.
No, I'm not having fun.
So do you think March is going to make it more fun?
No.
Okay, you should probably not do Josta Legend anymore. Just enjoy the game.
I know, just but throwing at the it same time, there. I feel like I'm letting down a lot of people by not actually getting there. So, yeah. I don't know.
Maybe here. Take March off and go strong in April. April, we got a long weekend coming up. We got Easter.
That's true.
March, you got nothing. We don't get diddly squat unless your employer sees like St. Hangover's Day as a day off. Then you should probably take March off. Play a little Life of Strange. Go back to the days when you were a time-traveling teenage girl.
Josta Legend is I have achieved a personal best. Mm-hmm. Rank 4 with 3 stars is the highest on the ladder that I've ever been. So at least there's that. I know that there's a lot of people in the community that were doing the climb with me and have hit a lot of their personal bests. So, you know, it was a good thing overall, but definitely decreased my enjoyment of the game. But overall, it's a good thing. I'm glad I did it. I do want to hit Legend, and I do want to do that soon. I learned a lot this month, and I think that that's kind of the thing. I made the decision that I was going to try for Legend, and then I just kind of basically jumped in and started playing a lot.
Yeah. No strategy, so just like head against wall, rank up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I learned a lot playing with different people and seeing different strategies and stuff. I probably should have taken a month or two to kind of try it on my own quietly and do the whole learning experience before saying, you know, oh, I'm going to get to Legend this month. I wasted, not wasted a lot of time, but I spent a lot of time learning. I think a few months from now, another push would probably be good, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. There's still, I still have just under a week left, so you never know. You never know.
You don't know. Yeah, if you keep trying, just have fun. But no,
I have more success too, depending on the time of day that I play. When I play, as soon as I get home from work, mm-hmm. I tend to have more success playing for that 2 to 3 hours than I ever do when I start to play on the weekends, or if I play later on at night. So I think that maybe I'll just come home from work and play a couple hours Monday through Friday and see how I do. I also have a vacation day on Friday, so
there you go.
I might spend some time on Friday pushing.
So Friday being, if that's the last day of the month, is it not?
Saturday.
No, second, yeah, okay, perfect. Well, there you go, a long weekend, but
I have good. A friend coming to visit this weekend, but he's just going to have to sit back and hang out and let me play on Saturday.
He can be your in-room hashtag.
If I'm even remotely close, then.
Yeah. You just give him your phone and just say, okay, here's the hashtag Josta Legend. Read any positive Josta Legend tweets that come up out loud while I play Hearthstone for the next 24 hours. Go. I think that's how you handle it, really.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
That's how it works.
I did stop playing Hearthstone this afternoon to give The Order a try, mm-hmm. Which I totally forgot that we were going to leave that to the end. So screw that. I also played Evolve this week.
Perfect.
Little bits and pieces. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. I wish I could get into it more because I really, 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 really like that game. I know a lot of people are saying it's weighted a little bit towards the monster.
Sure.
But I don't necessarily think it is.
And I was the monster, and one of us lost.
So Evolve. Evolve. A lot of people are saying it's weighted towards the monster. I think that the monster is a little bit easier to learn than a lot of classes, but I think that by the time people really get into it and spend some time learning classes, I think it's really going to swing the other way because the monster is powerful, but not overpowered, or at least I didn't think it was overpowered. I find that it was hard once, the map felt very small to me. I felt like it was really hard to get away, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, sometimes.
But then at the same time,
hard.
When I was tracking the monster, because that was my favorite character, was the tracking chick. When I'm tracking the monster, I'm just like, God damn it, I can't keep up. So it's really funny being on both sides, being the monster, feeling like I can't get away, and then being the tracker and feeling like I can never catch up. It just crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just a terrible tracker. I don't know. Or a terrible escaper. I don't know.
No, I think with Evolve, as a monster, the games where you do really well as the monster usually involve one or two of the hunters not, you know, pulling their weight quite well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a four-on-one game, which requires the monster to be overpowered and the four people to work together.
Yeah.
I've heard once the monster gets to level two without much resistance, that's when the game starts to move in the monster's favor. When you're level one, you have to be sneaky. You have to constantly run away. And we had some games, I think last week after we recorded, we played a bit. I can't quite remember. But we had some games where we were the monster and we just tore through everybody and won almost immediately. Mm-hmm. And other games where I think I got all the way to the monster and everyone killed me before I could take out the giant battery thing you're supposed to destroy for some reason. again, they don't really set it up much more than, guys, just, you have to destroy this thing. And it's like, okay. But it's a lot of fun, that game. And, you know, lo and behold, a week after release, a couple weeks after release, nobody's talking about the DLC issue. It is behind us, and everyone's enjoying the game. And, who would have thought?
Yeah, really. But. So, what else have you been playing this week?
I just finished recording another episode of Massive Chalice, and I had to reload my save because I had like a mic issue, so I had to re-record it again. And that game proves to be a very random game in the sense that when I restarted the save, I got a completely different scenario pop up. And it was a save the keep. So you have these keeps along your map, and I didn't know this. I guess there's modes where the enemy will infiltrate your keep, and you have to go in there with your vanguard and get them all out of there. But the thing is, the enemy has attacked the keep while your regent and partner are in there. So here I am, like, okay, I gotta save the keep, I gotta protect the king and queen. We got this. Let's do this. We're going to be sneaky. We're going to be efficient. Well, long story short, not only do I end up killing the king, killing the queen, myself, with my explosives, by accident, because the way your alchemists, your bomb throwers aim, is that you pick up a spot to hit, and then it shows you where the explosion will hit. So, like, sometimes the explosion will go in, like, a cross, and then, like, as you level up, the explosion turns into a giant square. So you can aim and see where, if you hit that spot, where the explosion will go and everything's fine. But if you miss, it randomizes where it will hit. And it just so happened that every time I missed, it would hit the king or hit the queen. So I need to ask you your opinion on whether it can be considered a successful defend of a keep if you kill the king, kill the queen, and lose two of your own guys in the process.
No.
Okay. It gets worse. When your king and queen die, you have to pick a successor. And that successor has to be in the same bloodline. Now, okay. I had just set up this keep not 5 minutes before it was invaded. So I'd say the king and queen maybe had, like, tops 1 year to work on making a hair, or how do you say it?
An heir.
An heir, thank you. A hair.
A hair?
I'll cut that bit. No, I'm just joking. An heir, right? So when I finish the keep defense, I go in there and I see that, you have to choose a new region. The only region available is an age zero baby born a day before the attack.
Oh, Ryan.
I'm convinced that this game, ever since we talked about it a couple episodes ago, it's used that negative energy from our discussion and applied it to my game. So now every time I play, I just have these really unfortunate incidents come up.
Don't you blame me for this.
I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming the gamers in. There's a big difference. I have an age zero baby taking...
Running
a kingdom. I did not set a partner. That felt like it would have been bad. I would have hoped the game would have said, yeah, you're not probably going to want to set a partner to an age zero person. But it gave me the option. So I didn't. I figured that would just be too much. But it couldn't have gone worse. It was just terrible thing after terrible thing. And I felt so bad afterwards. But hey, still going strong. I still have a kingdom to save. We're about I'm about 50 years in, I think. 50 of 300.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm going to make it, but we're going to keep trucking.
You're going to try.
I'm going to try. Yeah. Ryan to 300. I don't know. That seems like a workout regimen.
Yeah.
Which is not going to happen. But yeah. So that was my crazy massive chalice. I almost said Mass Effect. Oh, wouldn't that have been nice? Oh, yeah. We need more Mass Effect. Mass Effect. Yeah. But that game continues to be a lot of fun, and there's always random things that pop up in that thing that I really do enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So speaking of enjoying, I've been playing The Order, and we're actually going to talk about it this time.
Yes.
So I only just booted it up this afternoon. I only got about an hour of playtime in. I like it.
Good.
It's a really nice looking game. Mm-hmm. And I actually quite enjoy the mechanics so far. I think because I'm still kind of in some places in like almost like tutorial mode.
Sure.
Basically where it's like the first time you're doing something and it's like, you have to push this button to do this thing. And that's still popping up every once in a while. But I think my biggest problem with it so far is the instructions seem really small. And I have a pretty big TV now.
Hmm.
And I'm also not familiar with the buttons because it's the first game I've ever played on PlayStation.
Sure.
So I don't know. Like, it's like, hit triangle. I'm like, I have no idea where the triangle is. Hang on a second.
Oh, I'm dead. Okay.
Exactly. So I had a lot of incidents like that where it's like, you have to push this button. And I didn't know what button that was. Or, like, it shows you a little icon. And I actually had to, like, get close to the screen and, like, squint and be like, okay, I know that's a circle, but do they mean circle? Do they mean joystick? Like, is that a little L in the middle? Like, so I found the instructions were a little bit lacking. But mm-hmm. I also, like I mentioned, this is my first game on PlayStation. So
yeah,
it's not intuitive to me. I don't have that background and that experience to be able to say like, oh yeah, clearly they mean, you know, right trigger, which there are more than one right trigger, you know, so it's like,
yeah,
you get there. So confusing. Yeah.
But that's good that you're playing The Order. Yeah, of course it looks fantastic. That's sort of been their top notch bullet mark when it's like, but guys, it looks amazing. How do you feel about like the black bars? Do you find that has gotten in the way? You're not too far, but like
I noticed, mm-hmm. but I noticed when I was walking, like not in combat. It's not distracting when I'm in combat at all.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed it when I was like walking between rooms, and then I was just kind of like, oh, huh, that's kind of weird, but. You know, nothing crazy. I didn't really mind it. Like yeah. I say, it's not distracting when in combat. And I actually, to me, it feels not necessarily easy, but I found the aiming mechanic fit my skill level, I guess, is the best way to put that.
Okay.
I felt like I was able to shoot really accurately and like I was getting, you know, headshots and all that kind of stuff. And usually, although I enjoy shooters, I'm usually terrible at them. So I don't know, because there's no kind of like auto lock or auto aim or anything like that. But for whatever reason, I guess maybe, and it could just be the controller. I don't know. But I felt like normally I feel like I swing too much. Like I press, you know, to look left mm-hmm. and I always way overshoot my target.
Sure.
And then this one, it was like I looked left and, you know, got the guy in my sights and got the shot off. And so I was like, oh, wait, hang on a second. This is actually working well. Like, because, yeah. I mean, other stuff like BioShock, Call of Duty, even like Mass Effect at sometimes. Like, I'm just like, man, oh, man, I am terrible, terrible at these shooting games. But for some reason, The Order just feels different. Yeah. Again, it could be the controller, but I'm not quite sure. Did you notice a big difference at any time, like switching from like your 360 or your PS3 to the PS4? Like,
I think that it's all about personal preference, right? Like when it comes to controllers, but I feel like the PlayStation 4 controller is more accurate. And I haven't used the Xbox One controller, but I found that like with a 360 controller, like the movement area there for the joysticks or whatever you want to call them, control sticks.
Joysticks.
Joysticks are big things that you play around with. But anyways, I find that it doesn't really they're not doesn't give you as much area to move, but with the PlayStation 4 controller, there's more room there for the stick to move, right?
Mm.
And they might just have the sensitivity programmed a little better.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I
yeah, I just I felt like it matched my playstyle and my not my mechanics, but my, you know what I mean.
Yes, you're
the stuff that I do with my fingers.
Yeah, yeah, we're all words tonight. Well. We're all thumbs tonight. Sundays are weird, but no, I think that's a fair point. And the game, from what I've seen, like I have not played it yet. I'm looking forward to playing it down the road. But I'm glad to hear that the look holds up, because all I've seen is
it looks great.
Yeah, and on your 50-inch TV, oh man, that's got to be stellar.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it looks fantastic. Have you come across any of the weird historical, like alternate historical stuff? Has that come up yet, or are you just sort of working your way through it still?
I'm still working my way through it. There's a whole bunch of the characters that are named after Arthur's knights, so I'm kind of like, as they're introducing new characters, I'm kind of like, this is amazing. So, you know, you're getting the whole round table experience to it there. And there's like blimps in the sky and everything's all steampunky. And actually, that's probably my other kind of complaint. It's almost in line with the small instructions.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking over these like almost like walkie-talkie radio things, and they're really hard to understand and hard to hear. So you're getting instructions through this little walkie-talkie thing and only catching like every other word. And I don't know if it's like me or how I have my sound set up or what, but I feel like they tried too hard to go with like the British accent plus a crackly radio. Just the whole thing is really, really hard to hear. Like, I understand that it's supposed to be steampunky and not crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
But for the actual purposes of the game, it would be nice, even if there was like subtitles or something, it would just be nice if there was some way to know exactly what was going on. The UI is not that conducive to like understanding where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do. So not being able to have those audio cues, like at one point it told me to meet up with somebody and I didn't catch the name. And then I was just kind of like, okay, well, I'm just going to start walking around and seeing what I can find. And there was pretty much only one path to take. And then finally I met up with her and I was like, oh, Igraine. Oh, I thought it was like meet up with the brain or something.
Well, she could be the brain of the operation.
She could be. She could be. So yeah, it was just, it's kind of little stuff like that. But like I said, the shooting mechanics are really solid. I'm enjoying it so far. The art direction is fantastic. I really, really, really like the game so far. And again, I'm only an hour in, so not too crazy far. But
I'm looking forward to hearing what you think as the game progresses, because that's sort of been a lot of people's main complaints.
Is what?
The gaming. Well, we're going to talk about it. I was hinting, okay. But yeah, like that's sort of been the main narrative of people these days with this product, is that it is, you know, it's short, it's kind of boring, and I think it looks great. It looks fantastic. It's a game to play. But, you know, it's tough these days. It's tough to be a good game these days, you know? You look at The Order and it's like, that game looks fantastic and I'm sure it's fun and whatever, but like, everything's got to be a 10. I don't get it. Like,
yeah,
it's just really unfortunate.
So just before we get too far into this conversation, I just wanted to remind everyone that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. So this week we are going to talk about reviews and how they impact our purchase decisions, or if they do at all. And this is basically inspired by The Order. And so it seems like a lot of the reviews in the last week or so have been really, really negative about this game. And, you know, pointing out problems, but maybe not huge problems. Like, I don't really understand the idea behind all these reviews. Like, it just seems to me like there is so much negativity on the internet right now, which is the number one reason why I don't read reviews before I get games. I look at trailers and ideas that I think are going to be really cool and really fun, and then I go and buy the game and I make my own opinion. Like, everything's so negative now. I don't, Ryan, are you experiencing the same sort of thing? Like, it seems like every single game that comes out, it's just like reams of articles about, mm-hmm. you know, well, we saw it with Evolve, you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, talking about, oh my God, there's day one DLC. And, you know, like, it just, everyone latches on to that one negative point instead yeah. of being like, this game is freaking fun.
Yeah, it's weird, and it's like, I've slowly but surely over the last 6 months, I've just had these gaming websites that I love and visit every day slowly fall off the table for me. You know, the most recent one was probably Polygon. I after the Evolve stuff and the constant battering about Evolve's DLC and then the Order as well, like, having read the Polygon Order, it's just nasty and kind of negative. And like, I understand having to review a product and getting the point across to people that, like, when you're making your $70 purchase in Canada, yeah, this game is $70.
Yeah, I kind of did a double take because I was like, yeah. wait a minute, I thought it was $60, but no, it's because our dollar is doing so terribly.
Yeah, and it's not Sony's fault. It's Canada.
Which actually, it worked out cheaper because I paid with my PayPal balance, so 70 Canadian was actually like 55 American. So I was like, suckers.
So you
didn't
converted
even get
it.
My 60 US dollars.
Yeah, actually that, yeah. So I guess it worked out in the long run.
Yeah.
For you. But no, I just slowly but surely just been having these websites fall off the table, and some of the stuff that they post is good. And but the main review that stuck it for me, reviews do impact my purchase decision, but not on a wide scale. Like, I know some people will go to Metacritic and say, like, oh, it's got a 60 average, I'm not buying that game. I'm like, you didn't even read the reviews.
Yeah.
Like, the score doesn't mean anything. It's the opinion that matters. And the one website that I really enjoy and thoroughly trust is Giant Bomb. And the personalities on that, it's a personality-driven website. And Jeff Gerstmann reviewed The Order. I read his review. I watched the quick look that they did. And it's like, huh, yeah, okay. It sounds like the game has issues. And he tends to find more issues than others do in games. But I felt like that his review told me, okay, this is a wait and see. This is a wait and buy later on. Mm-hmm. Like, when I look at $70 and I look at the games that I'm not playing right now, I can wait or try to rent it, which led me down a rabbit hole that I'll probably talk about on a future episode. But let's just say it's incredibly tough to rent a game in Canada these days. But yeah, I just ask me next year this time if reviews impact my purchase decision. Maybe that'll change. Like, it'll become an absolute no and I'll figure it out myself. But from what Sony was putting out, like, talking about The Order, that's what I love about looking at the way publishers show their games. And I know you have to be careful with this because publishers can certainly show a game in a light that makes it better than what it actually is. But I really appreciated the content that they were putting out for The Order because it was all very positive. It showed the game in a positive light and actually made it like it was fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be careful there too.
So far, it's been freaking fun. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm really enjoying it. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just not picky enough.
Everyone's got their thing. You know, like, there are games that I've played that have been absolute terrible crap. We were having a conversation. It's like Thursday before reviews, or no, Wednesday before reviews. It's like, yeah, we're gonna pick it up. It's gonna be great. And then like reviews started posting Thursday morning, and I kind of stepped back a bit, and I'm like, And it was more about the value proposition. If I had mm-hmm. absolutely nothing else to play, I would probably pick this up. But I feel like, and I just worry that when stuff like this happens, the price just plummets. And I really hope
true.
This game does well. I want it to do well because this is a new developer that hasn't done a console game before and has been in the Sony house for a long time doing like portable games
mm-hmm.
For the PSP and the PS Vita. So I kind of want them to have their shot, right? And if this is can you believe that this game, how good it looks and how well it plays? It is a game made by handheld developers. This is their first console game on PS4, nonetheless. Like, does that not surprise you?
Yeah, that is. It's quite surprising. It doesn't feel that way at all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't jump in and go, oh, hey, you know, like, this feels simple or short. And again, I haven't played it all the way through, and some people are saying that it is quite short. Mm. But I'm also, when people say that it's short, I'm interested to know, like, is that game reviewers doing it? Because I remember, like, people saying, oh, there's only 5 hours of gameplay. It's like, well, but are you doing every little thing that you possibly can? Are you running through your missions as fast as possible? Because I know, like, BioShock Infinite, I think, didn't they generally people say there was, like, 10 hours of gameplay?
Yeah.
Because I think that one ended up taking me, like, 20 or 25. Like, I don't like reviews that add the it's X number of hours of gameplay. It's like, maybe, but maybe not.
Yeah, but see, the issue is, like, and did I want to ask this first. Did you read any of the reviews that came out for The Order?
I didn't read any of the full reviews. Mm-hmm. I just saw all the negativity in the, basically, the titles of the articles, and I was just like, no, I don't, it's going to totally kill it for me. Like, I don't want anyone's opinion on this. I just want to go in and play it and see if I like it. Yeah. Like, I don't really care if dude over at IGN or chick over at Polygon enjoyed it. Like, I want to go in, I want my steampunk King Arthur, and I'm going to have a blast of a time.
Yeah, and I wasn't asking that to kind of be like, oh, you should have read. Like, I don't think you should have read the reviews. I think you had it spot on, because based on our conversation, it was like, I was like, ah, I read the reviews, I'm not too keen on it. And I think, I don't know, like, was that like a red flag? Like, okay, I'm not going to read it, because obviously they're just, it's going to, like, they didn't shit all over The Order, but it was kind of like they were very negative. They were just kind of negative all around, and the only good thing,
like,
they had
a lot
to say,
of the titles were things like skip it, or, you know, not worth your time, or Rental. You know, The Order has no order, like stupid little quippy stuff like that.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, you know what, I'm really looking forward to this game. I know I'm going to enjoy it. So unless it does something, and, you know, even if it did have the same sort of issues as, say, like Assassin's Creed, where things had no faces, even that might have given me a laugh. Like, you know, I was looking forward to it, and I didn't want my ideas and opinions on the game to be soured before I even got my hands on it. So when I saw all the negativity, I was just like, you know what, I don't need this. Like, I want to have fun and just keep your negative reviews. If in the end you're right, fine, but I don't need to know that now. I'm going to buy it and play it anyway.
Yeah. No, I read IGN's, I read Polygon's, and I read Giant Bomb's, and Giant Bomb's was by far not, it was not as negative as the others, but the main point that came across to me, and everybody finds different things, like, for some people, they want a 60-hour game, or a 100-hour game in every game, because that $60 or $70, that's all they have for games for that month, 2 month stretch.
And so I can see that.
For them, it's like, these reviews are perfect. It's like, okay, well, I will spend my money elsewhere. Perfectly fine. But for me, it's about story, it's about art, it's about atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And the thing that really hit me is when they describe the story and they describe the length, and the details that they go into kind of, well, like you said, if you had read it, it would have ruined it for you.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not going to go any further, but that's why I'm excited to hear how you feel at the end of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I'm looking forward to it because, I mean, the game starts with a flashback.
Sure.
And then you kind of, starts with
flash forward
present, and then when you start playing, then you go back.
Oh, it's one of those.
So, yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, sorry, okay. Got it backwards.
It's one
so
of those.
So basically, you see the end, and then you go back to see how you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, it may not actually be the end, but you see an event, and then you go back in time and start playing the game to see how you got there. So, cool. I mean, it's really, really cool and interesting, and I like those kind of games. Like,
yeah.
That's or good. Well, not even just games, stories in general. I find that I love that when it's like you think you know one thing, but you end up not knowing because anyways, I'm looking forward to it. The story's already got me pulled in because of just the style that they've shown me so far. So
it's really unfortunate to see. Like, the last time I was burned was probably on Destiny, where there was no reviews. And this is an example of the hype train and paying attention to publisher news and publisher-released videos, where it's like, this game looks great, the beta plays good, I'm sure there'll be more of it, and then you get the full game, and it's like, oh, this is it. you know? Yeah. And that's an example of where reviews are handy ahead of time. Mm-hmm. But when a primarily story-based game, like this, the order is literally you start it, you finish it, the campaign is all you have.
Yeah.
So a value proposition, it's not the greatest, but for some people where we're incredibly busy, we barely have enough time to play games for the show each week. So it's kind of nice to have a really quick game that you can finish in a weekend or a
exactly.
couple weekends.
Exactly. I don't really want another Skyrim.
No,
I don't want a Dragon Age where exactly. I'm going to have to sink 100 hours in before it gets good or before, you know, you start to see all the things that you want to see, you know, like... There is something to be said for experiences like that, but I don't have time in my life to do that right now. What I have time for is, you know, an hour or two a night to pound out a 5 to 10 hour game. And as long as it's entertaining and gives me a good story, that to me is worth it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think that our lifestyles are definitely changing even since we started the podcast. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember when we first started podcasting together, that was right when Skyrim came out. And I mean, I had all the achievements. I had sunk 150 hours in easy. And, you know, like I was literally just sitting at home doing nothing and gaming. And then Mass Effect 3 came out and it was the same thing. I finished mm-hmm. that game in 6 days, 5 days, maybe less. Like,
yeah. No, it's really important to look at it. And I think reviewers try to look at it from every perspective. And that's why I enjoyed, certain reviews of it, because it did look at it from every perspective, but it treated it fairly from every perspective. And I find that's probably the best way to review a game. But yeah, when you're reviewing a game, it's really tough to hit the nail on the head for everybody.
Yeah.
And you know, I've done what you've done before with like a lot of games, like with Nintendo games. Like, I didn't read a review for Fire Emblem. I just knew it was going to be great. I went out and got it. It's probably a bad example because it turned out to be a fantastic game and got reviewed really well. But, oh man, I've played some stinkers and I'm sure The Order will not even touch those.
Yeah.
I've played Sonic games, people. I mean, come on. You don't need a review to tell you they're going to be bad.
You know what is not bad?
What?
SlashLoot.com. If you want to show off your TGI pride, you can head on over to SlashLoot.com. That is S-L-A-S-H Loot.com and grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other shirts, including all your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torn, Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So head on over to SlashLoot.com to show off your podcast pride. So this week, we just wanted to make sure that we gave a thank you and shout out to this week's patron, who is Braska. So if you would like to become a patron of The Gamers In, you can do so by going to patreon.com/TheGamersIn. And everyone over there who donates to us every month ends up with a chance to play with us on our Gamers In Game Night on Thursday, as well as the chance to sound off about what we should do and what we should play. So if you want some direct input into the Gamers In, then you can become a patron over at patreon.com. So we appreciate each and every one of you. We got an email this week from Andrew A. Ryan, do you want to take this one?
Sure, yes. Andrew A. writes in and says, "Hey gamers, I just wanted to ask you guys if you have had a chance to try out Sunless Sea. It is currently on Steam and just left Early Access in February. I think Ryan in particular might enjoy it. It is a text-heavy indie game with a few RPG elements. I picked it up on a whim, and I'm really enjoying it. You play as a boat captain that travels a huge underground sea after London sank deep into the earth." That sounds like a good alternate history right there. Speaking of alternate history.
Exactly.
It's based on some browser game called Fallen London, which I've never played, so it was a huge amount of lore. The whole game has this creepy feel to it, and the writing is really awesome. There are clay men, talking rats, and guinea pigs, and a weird island that attracts lost articles of mail. I'm not kidding. Mail, yeah, okay, he's not kidding. Well, I'm glad he stated that. Oh, yeah, and your crew will eat each other if you are lost out at sea with no supplies. I'd definitely suggest checking it out. So I'm assuming if they run out of supplies and they start eating each other, they start with like the rat crew and the guinea pig crew. Like if you have talking,
no idea.
Well, if you have talking rats and guinea pigs, like probably eat them first, right?
Bottom of the food chain.
Yeah, sure. But anyways, he says, I definitely suggest checking it out. Keep up the awesome podcast, Andrew. Yeah, I'll take a look. I looked it up quickly before we started recording, and it certainly does look like a very text-heavy indie game, like a lot of text. From what I saw, you kind of start out with a giant manual, you read through it, and then you go off and launch. And the point of the game, I think, is to actually create stories. So you travel from island to island, listening to people's stories and researching things to kind of find things to add to your story. And the whole point of the game is to return home with the best story ever to win like a Pulitzer or something. I don't know, like some sort of award.
All right.
It's kind of interesting. It looks kind of neat. And obviously on your travels, you can die. It's kind of like half RPG and half roguelike a little bit. So yeah, I will take a closer look and try to report back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I absolutely love it when listeners write in and tell us what their favorite games are and new titles that we should pick up or check out. It's so hard to talk on Sundays.
Yeah, geez. it's been a long weekend, but not long enough.
Exactly. So we also got an email from Skylord Greens who said, he sent in his best Smite moment. So
he was the only one that did.
I was like, these aren't sentences and there's no capitals and it hurts my brain.
Well, there's some capitals near the end.
That's true. So his best Smite moment was a one-hit kill with a Mighty Storm.
Good.
It's like an ult, but it's easier to hit, which is true. Mighty Storm out of...
Aokong?
It used to be, and now there's a new dragon god. He's Mayan, though, instead of Chinese. But I can't remember his name. Cool. It's like there's a lot of Ks, there's some Ls, and then it ends with an N. I don't know. You guys have to look at
Kuangi.
I am so bad with all of these like random god names. I give them nicknames for a reason.
Dragon guy. No, I'm terrible with names too. I nickname everything.
I'm so bad. So, Skylar Greens, we will have to shoot you an email with your tear skin unless Ryan's totally on top of it and already did that.
We will do that shortly. And, you know, you might even wonder, I won this? It wasn't mentioned on the show. Well, guess what? It was just now.
So if you would like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on AMOVE TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus Campaign Roundtable, The Angry Chicken, and AMOVE Radio. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you would like to email us and let us know what you think about game reviews, or if you have any recommendations that you would like to see us play, you can email us at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week.